Welcome, my name is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and we thank you for taking some time to listen to some audio recordings from the pulpit of the Riverview Baptist Church. Our desire is to show the Lord high, holy, and lifted up, as well as try to be a blessing to those through the Word of God. Please enjoy this message, and we pray that it will be a blessing to your life. And if you wouldn't mind to take your copy of the Word of God and turn with me to the Old Testament book of Psalms. The Old Testament book of Psalms. And we find our way in Psalm 138. Psalm 138. Now, we are now finishing up our series of the power of God's name. And throughout this series, we've given approximately 40 messages dealing with how the name of God is used. Now, we know that God's name is very powerful. The name of God is something very important to God. That we saw there's different ways of using God's name, that people are saved by His name, they believe on His name, they call upon His name, they are justified by His name. We saw that God put strict warnings on His name to show how much He reverences. He said, don't defile His name. It spoke about in the Ten Commandments not to take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. And so the name of God, without a doubt, it is very, very important. In fact, it is the name of God that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. God has placed a great and significant emphasis on His name. Now, we're saying that because I'm trying to build something up. God's name is important. God's name is very important. God's name is uplifted. God's name is exalted. God's name is dear to Him. God's name is important. God's name is lifted up above so many things. And we now find our way to Psalm 138. Psalm 138, notice with me in verse 1. Psalm 38 and verse 1. I will praise thee with my whole heart. Before the gods I will sing praise unto thee. I will worship thy name, or worship thy holy temple, and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. In the day when I cried, thou answered me, and strengthened me with strength in my soul. And all the kings of the earth shall praise thee, O Lord, when they hear the words of thy mouth. Yea, they shall sing in the ways of the Lord, for great is the glory of the Lord. Though the Lord be high, yet he hath respect unto the lowly, but the proud he knoweth afar off. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me. Thou wilt stretch forth thy hand against the wrath of mine enemies, and thy right hand shall save me. The Lord will perfect that which is concerning me. Thy mercy, O Lord, endureth forever. Forsake not the works of thine own hands. And if you're in the habit of marking things in your Bible, would you mark a very outstanding, amazing, almost wondrous phrase that almost may not make sense? It says in 138, Psalm 138, verse 2, thou hast magnified thy word above thy name. Out of all the things that God can say is above his name, which is not a big list, he said, thou hast magnified thy word above thy name. With this, let's go to the Lord together and let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you again for you being a wonderful God. And as we come and study this message, we've seen the great importance you've placed on your name. We've seen the great emphasis you placed on your name. We've seen the great warnings you have placed concerning your name. And now we find there's one thing that goes above your very name. Help us to understand it. To see what you're saying, to understand what you mean by it, and that we could apply it to our own hearts, that we too can magnify your word in a wonderful way. I ask that you fill me with your spirit tonight for the purpose of getting your work accomplished through your word. And we trust you. Walk us through this and help us to respond properly to who you are in Jesus' name. Amen. After the study of the power of God's name and then entering into a study of the names of God, this statement almost seems like it can't be true, because God has placed again great warnings. He has given one of the Ten Commandments, "Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain." In fact, he continues with that verse, "Thou shalt not, God will not hold them guiltless who take his name in vain." That's a big warning. And yet, after all of the emphasis and all of the explanation, all the warnings, God takes time through his human penman David to write down that thou has magnified thy word more than thy name. We know God's name is very important. And by the way, as Bible believers, we may intellectually have heard this and maybe even acknowledge this. But when we put it in the context of studying God's names and the power of his name and how God's names are used, this becomes a more fantastic statement. Because if it's really true that God has magnified his word more than his very name, and none of us in here would even dare, in a mature Christian state, dare take God's name in vain, then this brings to question, how do we treat God's word? If we're not willing to defile God's name, to pollute his name, to do anything to harm his name, is the way we treat the word of God even higher than that? Or has the word of God become lower in our sight, our mind, and our practice than what God puts his word as a position of magnification, of holiness, of exaltedness? What a powerful thought to examine. And so if you don't mind, let's go through and let's just kind of think upon these things. Here David is beginning to worship God. And as he's beginning to worship God, he says that God has magnified his word above his name. That means it's not diminishing his name. It is exalting God's word to its rightful place. It's not making less of God's name. It's not making light, and it's not making in vain. It is through the word of God that we know who God is. It is the primary source. And it's through the word of God that we have the promises of God. It's through the word of God that we learn so much. And God has chosen to magnify his word more than his name. With that in mind, let's go through and let's examine some thoughts. First of all, let's just hit the baseline. That if God has exalted his word above his name, we need to find where the baseline is. We need to find where that level of his name is. We start off with the idea that God's name is high and holy. God's name is high and holy. Notice in verse 2. I will worship towards thy holy temple. So here he starts off with the idea of worship. I'm going to worship God. I'm going to worship towards thy holy temple. Understand that this is the place where God has put his presence. God has placed his name. It is a place of honoring it. Just like, again, more mature people in today's economy, God's house is going to be the local church. And whereas those are mature Christians, we don't want to do anything to defile God's church. We want to make sure that it's lifted up and exalted, and that we want to take care of it and honor it. It is the place where we assemble together. The church is not the building, it's the people assembling together, and where Christ is there with us. We have the presence of God. It becomes a very big thing. God has put a great emphasis on his local church in the Bible. Of course, we know that there's a de-emphasis, but if we were to look at things even in David's day or Solomon's day, when the temple is there and how magnificent the temple was, David said, I'm worshiping towards your holy house. I'm worshiping towards your presence where I know I can meet with you, with you personally, not just as an idea, but with you personally. He says, I will worship towards thy holy temple and praise thy name. He says, when I worship you, I'm going to praise your name. Of course, we saw this in the book of Exodus, chapter 33 and 34, where God proclaims his own name, and it deals with the presence of God, that the presence of God comes with us understanding who God is through his names, and it becomes a very big deal. It's one of the high points, the zenith, the mountaintops that Moses got to go with himself when he got to hear God proclaim his own names to Moses and have the presence of God there. That was what Moses had prayed for. That's what he asked for, to desire to be in the presence of God. And so David is not placing a de-emphasis. He's showing where the level is. He's showing where the bar is. It will praise thy name. Why? For thy loving kindness and for thy truth. He says, I love your name because of how kind you are. I love your name because of who you are. I love your name because of the truth that you have. I can trust you. I can depend upon you. You're always right. I know who you are because of your character. He is exalting and giving us a high level of where God's name is, where the bar is set, how things are set up. He's declaring his character of God, merciful, gracious, long-suffering. The name of God has a revealed nature. We know that when we call upon his name, we're calling upon the very being, the person of God. When we trust in his name, we're trusting in his character. His name is holy. It's to be reverenced. It's to be feared. It's not to be taken lightly. God's name is high and lifted up. Which brings us to the second thing, as we've kind of set where the bar is on his name. It's not low. It's not mundane. It's not common. God's name is exalted and it's high. And yet, the second thing we see is that God's word is magnified above his name. God has exalted his word above his name. Why is it that God has lifted up his word above his very name? It's because of the very nature of the word of God. What is the purpose of the word of God? To reveal God to man. Whereas the names of God reveal something about God's character. They reveal something about God's attributes. The word of God is to reveal who God is to us, which would include his names. Where do we get the names of God, by the way? Through his word. The only source of information we have on who God is by his word. By his word. Without his word, we would not know anything about the character, the attributes, the person of God. God has chosen to magnify his name because of his great purpose. God has two main ways that he has revealed himself to man. His primary way is through his word. A secondary way is through his names. This other primary way is through the person of Jesus Christ, who is the living word of God, God revealed to man. And so each of these three aspects, the word of God, which contains the names of God, and Jesus Christ, who is God robed in flesh, are meant to let us know who God is. And because God wants us to have a clear picture of who he is, he has now magnified his word above his name, because God wants us to know who he is. It's the word of God that declares his purpose. Without the word of God, we would have two ways that we would know that there is a God, by the light of conscience and by the light of creation. Romans chapter 1 speaks about this, that every person, no matter when they lived or where they live, have a knowledge of God. First of all, by conscience, that every one of us have an innate sense of right and wrong. And by the way, that's something we have that is unique to us. Animals do not have an innate sense of right and wrong. Amen. Any of you with cats as pets, you understand they don't have an innate sense of right and wrong. Now, they could be trained, but their conscience never bothers them. Yep. I have cats. I can prove it. Their conscience never bothers them. I feel like I have to go bother them to try to let them know they did something wrong, because otherwise they're like, I don't know what you're talking about. Animals do not have a conscience. They do not have an innate sense of right and wrong. You know, if an animal gets hungry enough, it will turn on its own master. It will turn wild. It could turn feral. There are certain things that happen. Whereas a human, God has designed us, everyone, with a conscience. We innately know that it's not right to kill. There's a hesitation with that. And everyone has that. Now, we know that there are some people who are anomalies because something went wrong with them. But everyone has a conscience. We have an innate sense of right and wrong. We know it's wrong to do this. We know it's wrong. Now, we know our conscience can be taught, it can be seared, but everyone has a conscience. And because everyone has an innate sense of right and wrong, it's an evidence that God created us. God had planted something into us. We know that there's something higher than us because of our conscience. The second way that we know that there's a God is the light of creation. That when we look at creation, we have to acknowledge there has to be a creator. Something had to make this. Whether you look at a sunset or a sunrise and look at the beautiful colors, you look at a brand new baby and think of how it was made, that there has to be a creator. There's so many evidence of a creator. Now, everyone has the light that there is a God, and everyone has to respond to that light. There must be something bigger than me. If I want to know him, God will give that person more light. But everyone has that light. But that light is not enough for us to have an intimate knowledge of who God is. It's not enough. God had to give us something so we could know who he is, and that's his word. God has given us his word so we can know him. And not just know facts about him, but to get to know him personally, get to know him intimately, to develop a personal fellowship with him. It is through God's word that we learn who he is. It's God's word that declares his person. The word of God gives us the knowledge of his holiness, the knowledge of righteousness, his mercy, his grace. It's God's word that reveals his will, his promises, and his judgments. David is saying God has magnified his word because his word reveals the God of the word. The Bible tells us in Romans 10, 17, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Where do we get faith from? The word of God. By the way, the faith is an object, not just something. And we get more faith in God by God's word. If a sinner is going to be saved, he must hear the word of God. There is no such thing as someone getting saved who was not told, explained, shown, or something dealing with the word of God. There is no such thing. It's the word of God that explains these things to us. If we're going to walk in truth, we have to be grounded in his word. His word is magnified because of its purpose. To reveal God to man, he reveals his names, his ways, and his glory. It reveals that Jesus Christ, the living word of God, who came to be the fulfillment of all that was spoken of the prophets. God's word is magnified because of its power. The word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. The Bible convicts. It divides, it pierces the heart and bears the soul. The word of God is not a dead letter. It is living and active. No wonder the Bible's magnified. Psalm 119 says, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Do you know that this is the one perfect thing that you could hold now that you also have in eternity? God's precious word. Jesus said, heaven and earth can pass away, but my word shall not pass away. That's how important it is that heaven's going to pass away. God's going to make a new earth, and yet God's word will remain. God's word stands when everything else will fall. We know that God's word is the supreme revelation of himself. God's name reveals his characters, and study of God's names is very important. Yet it's without the word of God, we would not know these names. As we start our series of the names of God on Sunday, we're not just going to hit the names of God, but we have to take the names of God in context. Why is it that God chose to use that name in that context? Why has he chose to reveal himself in that specific scenario? And those will give us a clue a little bit more about who God is. So it's not just taking the names of God by itself, but you need the word of God to put it in context to get the full contextual revelation of what God wants to reveal through his character and his attributes revealed by his names. The word of God is key in that. Without the word of God, we would not understand God's holiness. Without the word of God, we wouldn't understand his justice. Without the word of God, we wouldn't understand his mercy. Without the word of God, we wouldn't understand his grace. God has chosen to magnify his word because it is the supreme revelation to himself. Now, with this, we have to come up with an application. A conclusion. We know that God has set the bar of his word very high, and that God has magnified his word above his name. And it's for the purpose that his word reveals who God is to us. It's how we know about God. It's how we know about his character. It's how we can have a personal relationship through him, through the word, with him. So what do we do with this? Well, if God's word is magnified above his name, then the word of God demands our worship, trust, and obedience. The word of God demands our worship, trust, and obedience. David said, I will worship thee. And it said, I will praise thy name for loving kindness and for truth. With it, we are reminded that worship is grounded in truth. Jesus said very clearly in John chapter 4, those that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. God will not accept worship that's not based on truth. How do we know how to worship God then? By God's word. It's God's word that tells us how to worship him. It is God's word that reveals how we're supposed to exalt him. It is God's word that tells us about the idea of what value, what he means to us. The word of God explains this, gives us the truth. That's why God has exalted his words above his name. His name tells us about his character and attribute, but if we want to know how to worship those names, worship the God behind the names, his word tells us how to do that. Amen. Truth of God is not found in man's feelings Amen. Or man's ideas. God has revealed his truth through his word. So that way it's not based off of experience. It's not based off of how we feel. It's so we can worship him in spirit and truth in a way that he recognizes, in a way that he accepts. Without the word of God, we could not do that. We know that people are trying to take God's word out all the time. And when you take God's word out, then you could quote unquote worship God however you feel. But God does not accept it. He said, I clearly gave you in my word how to worship me, how to acknowledge how valuable. That's what worth means. It's worth-ship, ascribing the value, how important he is, how great he is, how wonderful he is. How do I know how to do that properly? By his word. When I take God's word out of the equation, my worship becomes man-centered. This is how it makes me feel. It's all about me, my experiences, my thing, my aura, my mysteries, my whatever else. And what happens is that it takes it to more of a personal thing rather than a God-centered thing. That goes with the idea of truth. When we take God's word, truth becomes subjective. We live in an era today where everyone says, I have my truth. Well, this is my truth. There's no such thing. We are not looking for truth, by the way. We're searching in the truth because we've already found it. Yeah. We have the truth. God's word is truth. And by the way, Jesus said, the truth shall make you free. I'm so thankful that this truth can break the chains, make me free of burdens of sin. The Word of God is not just to be heard. It's to be believed and obeyed. Now, if we're going to exalt God's Word above His name, that means that we need to respond to God's Word properly. James tells us and warns us, be ye not doers of the Word, but be doers of the Word and not hearers only. The Word is not for our curiosity. It is for our obedience. It's not for our entertainment. It's given for our sanctification. The Bible says, and Jesus said himself, John 17:17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. This is why God has exalted the Word of God above his very name, so we could worship him, so we can know truth, we can know who God is. God has magnified his word above his name. And we need to honor it as so. We must love his word. If we're going to love God, we must love his word. If we're going to trust God, we must trust his word. If we're going to obey God, we have to obey his word. The Bible says, thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. This is how God has chosen to guide us and to lead us. With all of that being said, we come to the question, how do you see and treat the Word of God? Now, intellectually, as Bible believers on a Wednesday night, intellectually we say, oh, of course we love God's Word. But then we have to go to practice. The practice is when we read our Bible every day, is it magnified above His name or is it a duty? Is it something I get to be with God? God said this is more important than his very name. Or is it something I just have to do? It comes to the choice. Do I look at Facebook, YouTube, or read God's word? I don't know. Today it's just kind of, We have to get to the place where we see God's word as magnified above his name and treat it as such. We have to get to the place where by practice we are treating it. You know what? Even the way that we hold and carry our Bible shows what we think of God's name. Now, again, I have idiosyncrasies and I admit that. But it is my idiosyncrasy that I don't set anything on God's word. I don't care if the books aren't stacked right. The Bible doesn't have anything on top of it. Because its word should be above everything. If it's above his name, it's above any other book I could hold. How we treat it. I've watched people finish Sunday morning, go out to the car, toss it in the back of the car and just let it sit there in the sun, never to open it up ever again. I've seen people go to their homes and their main Bible has gathered dust because they haven't picked it up in a while. The Bible becomes a neglected book. It becomes a book where we have to force ourselves to read it, to study it, to love it, when it should be in our eyes, the same way God sees it, magnified above his name. That this should be something that is so precious to me. Because don't we sing about the blessed name of Jesus? We have all these songs about God's name, and rightfully so. Understand, I am not lowering the bar of where God's name is. We have to keep that high, and we have to put it so high, and then realize that God's word's above that. That's how we should treat and exalt God's name. This is why we should be protective. I know God could take care of his own self, but we get a little bit irritated when people mess with God's word. We should be very discerning above it because of the purpose. Is the Bible there just to be an entertainment? Forgive me, I usually don't go into side things like this, but the newest thing they're selling right now is the comic book version. They have comic book artists of DC and Marvel who have now put together the Bible in a comic book form where you could go through it. Does that carry the same thing? Is that how God has chosen to reveal himself, is through these pictures? He's revealed himself through his word. And we need to be discerning above it. That we know that so many people try to take God's word and make it commonplace. They try to make it something that it's not. Well, I don't understand the Bible. maybe it's because you need to step up and ask God to show more about his word rather than try to bring his word to my level. I should be saying, God, help me bring it to that level. The purpose of it is to reveal you to me. If I don't want to know who you are, no wonder I won't understand it. If I'm not going to obey it, why should God tell me something to obey? How do you treat God's word? Is it still important to you? Is it still something? Again, we have to fight this because as Bible believers, as people who've been here for a while, you should be in the habit of reading your Bible every day. And if you read it every day, it can get to the place where it's just another thing to do. It may be an important thing to do, but you don't read it like it's important. You don't read it like it's more important than this. You treat God's name better than your word, than his word, which his name is very important. We're not lowering that bar. We need to raise this bar higher. We need to raise it to the place that God placed it. By the way, this wasn't David's opinion. This was God speaking through his human penman saying, I want you to say how important my word is. So is God's word still important to you? Not just important. Is it magnified higher than everything? Now, again, you have to understand the reasons. Why? Because this is how we know about God. Is it still important? Is it still something? Do you love God's word? Or has it become so ordinary because we deal with it all the time? God has chosen to magnify his word above his name. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you again for you being a wonderful God. And as we come to you, we're just asking that you would give us grace and mercy. We know that we have busy schedules. We know that we have a lot of stuff going on. We know that we've kind of just are around the Bible all the time. And yet, there are so many times we let where it should be fall short. We don't magnify your name. And we don't magnify your word. Help us, Lord, to treat it properly. Help us to love your word. To be based on the truth. To be searching for you. Desiring to have you. And asking that you would show us more about yourself. How's your Bible reading? Is it something that you just do sparingly, or is it something that you're wholeheartedly engaged in? Lord, maybe we just need help and motive. Help us to get excited about it. Help us to love it. Help us to see it as it's supposed to be. Help us to have a revival of Bible reading and desire it above everything else. Thank you for listening to this audio message. This is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and I encourage you to take this information that you just received and make a specific decision to follow after the Lord. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, let me beg you to take the time to receive Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. If you are saved, I encourage you to make a decision in your life to help you get closer with the Lord. If there's anything specific we can do to be a blessing or to pray for you, we encourage you. Look us up on the internet at riverviewbc.com. Once again, that's riverviewbc.com. Or if you would prefer to call us, you could give us a call at area code 920-530-6308. Once again, that number is 920-530-6308. If there's anything we can do to be a blessing or an encouragement to you, please let us know. We would love to make ourselves available. Thank you.